It is nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 48 degrees. Skies are overcast, northwest winds at 9 miles per hour at the airport, where they have 10 miles of visibility. Look for scattered showers for the rest of the day and overnight as well, then just a few scattered showers tomorrow. Cloudy skies today and tonight will become mostly cloudy tomorrow. Coming up on the Midday Report, an education professor in Kodiak is retiring. Too much fanfare. Click Bishop is running for governor, and he spoke to KMXT's Davis Hovey over Crabfest. And state lawmakers passed two bills that will hopefully enable the federal health care expansion effort. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Trump says Iran is intent on making a deal to end the war, but adds they are, quote, negotiating on fumes. NPR's Mara Liasson has more on Trump's remarks during his lengthy cabinet meeting today.
The threat was a familiar one from President Trump. Either Iran, quote, gives us what we want, or we'll finish them off. The president and his party are under pressure to end the war, which has sent gas prices soaring. That's hurt Republican candidates in the midterm elections. But when the president was asked why he hadn't moved faster to end the war, given the financial pain it's causing Americans, he said this.
I don't care about the midterms.
The president also laid out another red line for Iran. He says he wants the Strait of Hormuz to be open without any tolls. He said the strait was international waters that no single country should control. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
The president is supporting prediction market companies in their fight with state gambling regulators. NPR's Bobby Allen reports Trump's family has come under increased scrutiny over its ties to the industry.
Trump wrote in a Truth Social post that companies like Kalshi and Polymarket will thrive under his leadership. He wrote, quote, "We are setting the rules of the road that are the gold standard for the states," before disparaging the governors of several states that have tried to rein in the companies. Trump in his second term has embraced the prediction market industry, where people bet billions of dollars a week on sports, elections, news events, and federal policy. The administration has rolled back regulations and sued states that have attempted to apply gambling laws to the sites. Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., is an advisor to Kalshi and Polymarket, and his venture capital firm, 1789 Capital, is a major Polymarket investor. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
The deadly shooting last week at a mosque in San Diego has been linked to suspects who appear to hold neo-Nazi white nationalist views. But writings that they are believed to have left behind also highlight an area of conspiratorial thinking that is often overlooked and that increasingly ties to extremist violence. Here's NPR's Odette Youssef.
The writings lay out grievances against a wide spectrum of people, but at the top, they identify two primary sources of anger, Jews and women. Alex DeBranco of the Institute for Research on Male Supremacism says that increasingly, the scaffolding of those narratives is being mapped onto women to similarly justify attacks on a broad range of targets.
As we have seen the growth in anti-feminist movements, we've seen similar kind of conspiratorial thinking about women pulling the strings behind the scenes as well.
DeBranco says that in addition to the San Diego attack, anti-woman conspiracies drove a 2011 attack on a summer camp in Norway. Odette Youssef, NPR News.
Rescue operations underway in Laos for two people believed to be trapped in a cave. Several were rescued. It's NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481 2400.
For KMXT News, I'm Terry Haynes. An education professor in Kodiak who has spent years developing homegrown teachers across Alaska and building the pipeline to drive more into the high-demand profession is retiring. KMXT's Davis Hovey visited the outgoing professor in her office at Kodiak College.
A dozen photos of various smiling teachers wearing their college graduation caps and gowns adorn Kitty Deal's wall.
And so that's Michelle Griffin, Jessica Skomberg, and then it just keeps going.
They're Deal's former students from her 17 years with the college, who went on to become teachers and paraprofessionals. Deal highlights another former student who went on to teach in the rural community of Port Lyons, northwest of Kodiak. Deal visited years ago and saw how crucial the teacher and school were in the community.
Even the building itself is an important part of the community. It was like, this is what's important. That was in 2014, and that's when I was applying to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I remember that, you know, it was informing what I knew I wanted to do.
Her dissertation for her doctorate in Indigenous Studies was about helping educators understand how to recruit and retain Alaska Natives to teach through place-based participatory research.
We've got this revolving door of teachers who come, but then they leave. And that's not good for our children. It's not good for our schools.
Deal had spent most of her tenure with the college focusing on this issue. According to a press release from Kodiak College, around 2016, she co-authored a $5 million grant to support arts integration and culturally responsive teaching practices across the Kodiak Island Borough School District. In 2022, the U.S. Departments of Labor and Education started the Teacher Registered Apprenticeship Program. Deal wrote a workforce grant that helped establish it in Alaska. Since the UA system started offering these apprenticeships, there's been growing interest.
In fall of 24, we were hoping for 15 and we got 40. By the spring, we had over 50. Here we are looking at fall of 26, which is 2 years later. We are anticipating 95.
And Deal says those future teachers are spread across Alaska, not just in Kodiak. Like Nina Crumry, who started her higher education at University of Alaska Fairbanks in 2009 and just graduated this month.
There were a number of years where I took time off because I had children and I would take classes here and there.
Crumry's journey to her degree in elementary education from the University of Alaska Southeast has not been straightforward or steady, but she says her goal has been.
My ultimate goal has always been to get my teaching degree and move home to teach, because that's just where I want to be.
Crumry is from Old Harbor on the southeast side of Kodiak Island.
When I was growing up, I had some amazing teachers. Carly Gunderson was one, and she really inspired me to come back home.
Crumry is moving home to Old Harbor in June and plans to apply for a teaching position at the rural school when one opens up. And that, Deal says, is what all of her years focusing on growing Alaska teachers has been about.
Most of our students are working, and so it takes them longer than 4 years to graduate. So to be able to hire someone who already knows and understands the nuances of island living, you know that the likelihood is that you're going to keep them.
Deal's last day with Kodiak College in the university system is June 30th. But she says her early childhood education journey will continue as she spends more time with her grandchildren. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
At least 18 candidates are vying to be the next governor of Alaska in this year's primary election. One of those candidates is a former state legislator from Fairbanks, Republican Clark Bishop, who goes by Click. KMXT's Davis Hovey spoke with Bishop during his visit to Kodiak last week for Crab Fest, and he has this report.
My name's Click Bishop, 68 years old. First came to Alaska when I was 18 months old, and my dad worked construction, and my wife and I, we've known each other since childhood, and our dads worked together. So anyway, I worked, bounced all over the state as a construction brat kid, and Fairbanks was always kind of home base. Then I graduated from Lathrop in December of 74 and went to work on taps and construction in the field, pipeline work in the winter and civil construction in the summer. Then I managed my union's apprenticeship program statewide for 20 years. And then Governor Palin called me to ask me if I would like to come be Commissioner of Labor. And so that's how I got involved with the state government.
Tell me a little bit about what your priorities are and, you know, what you would focus on if you were elected as governor.
First thing is cheap energy. I just want to emulate Kodiak on the rail belt. I mean, if people in Kodiak were paying what we were paying in Fairbanks, they would be screaming off the rooftops here. So cheap energy. And I have an energy plan that it is ready to go on day one if we get elected. And also the second thing is growing the economy and actually cheap energy and growing the economy, or they're joined at the hip. Anytime you can lower your electric rates, and I'd love to cut them in half on the rail belt. Third thing is education. I just had this conversation 2 days ago with a group of educators in Anchorage, and the data hasn't changed. 75% of the kids that graduate the high school right up here, 75% of them are better served to go into an apprenticeable occupation or a two-year AA degree. The other 25% are destined for higher ed, you know, doctors, lawyers, engineers, what have you. But we don't put enough into the BSA increment to expand career and tech ed. And I want to expand career and technical education inside the base student allocation. You know, when you got the CEO of a Ford Motor Company, Jim Farley, saying, I'm 5,000 mechanics short, it's right on point. We need more tradespeople. And we needed them yesterday, you know.
Yes, of course. We're here in Kodiak, commercial fishing town. Mm-hmm. All gear types, all sectors, though, are kind of struggling right now, whether you're a processor or a jig fisherman or a trawler, whoever. But, you know, the global markets, the Russian seafood, the price at the docks, the fuel, it's all not great.
Absolutely.
What would you kind of focus on to help address, you know, the needs of the commercial fishing industry?
The fastest thing I think that we can do to help the seafood industry, especially because we're competitive on a global market, right? We've got to end that war in Ukraine's got to be over with, and it's got to be over with yesterday. And we've got to get diplomatic relationships open back up in Asia, and that includes Russia. So that's part one. Part two is I want to work with the White House, the State Department, our delegation, to try to open up those diplomatic relations to expand into data sharing on bycatch, right? If we're catching 50% of their chum by genetic testing, I want to know how many of our chum they're catching, right? Yeah. Or Chinook salmon. We're all eating out of the same breadbasket, but diplomatic relations, first and foremost, get back to sharing the science. Third thing is, we got to be competitive on a global stage. That means funding ASME's budget, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, to what it needs to be funded.
Obviously, everyone loves to talk about the permanent fund dividend and what level that should be set at. My question is just, where do you stand on supporting the full statutory PFD?
Oh, if you could pay it. If you could pay it, you know, and you've got the bank account to pay it without breaking the treasury, that's fine. I've been in those debates and those slogs, and we had it a formula passed in 2018, right? And obviously the House couldn't get there. We only got half of that bill passed, and that was the structured POMV draw, not to overdraw the ERA. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I'll tell you right out of the gate. I'm not going to introduce a budget that's $1.5 billion underwater. It'll be a balanced budget.
And again, that was gubernatorial candidate Click Bishop speaking with KMXT's Davis Hovey earlier this month. You can hear the full conversation online at kmxt.org. The primary election is August 18th, and the top four candidates, regardless of party affiliation, will advance from there to the general election on November 3rd. State lawmakers passed two bills on the last day of the legislative session aimed at fulfilling requirements of a federal health care expansion effort. One of those, House Bill 110, would make it easier for out-of-state doctors, physician assistants, psychologists, social workers, and EMS personnel to get licensed in Alaska by joining what are called interstate compacts. The Department of Health told federal officials in its application for a share of the $50 billion in funding from the Rural Health Transformation Program that Alaska would join the various compacts. Alaska is on track to receive more than $1 billion from the program. Anchorage Democratic Senator Forrest Dunbar says that's the primary reason for joining the compacts.
This is the Rural Health Transformation Program bill. That's why these compacts are being done, because the administration committed to the federal government that we would pass or attempt to pass a number of these compacts.
The bill passed unanimously in the State House, but there was more controversy in the Senate. The bill passed 13-7 in the upper chamber, and in a rarity, all of the no votes came from members of the bipartisan majority. Joining a compact means subscribing to a shared set of rules for doctors, EMS providers, and so on. Anchorage Republican Senator Kathy Geisel, a nurse practitioner and the Senate's number two leader, said Alaska is in a unique place and should be able to impose its own rules.
I don't want to give up that authority to look at these medical professions and what they can do in our state. We are the only ones who care about and understand our state's needs.
Geisel also pointed out that it's unclear exactly how much money is at stake. State and federal officials have been hesitant to say how much could be lost if Alaska doesn't join the six compacts the state health department committed to. Anchorage Democratic Representative Zach Fields said lawmakers didn't hear pushback from the public during committee hearings, but Fields said there was one exception, an interstate compact for nurses.
There continued to be, I would just say, a lot of controversy among stakeholders, and that's why we were not able to resolve that particular compact this year.
Backers say joining the nurse license compact would make it easier to fill nursing jobs in Alaska, but skeptics, including the state's largest nursing union, say there are structural issues driving nurse turnover, like working conditions and staffing policies. They argue a compact would only mask the issue. Another bill that passed on the final day of the legislative session addresses requirements of the Rural Health Transformation Program and allows pharmacists to treat minor and chronic conditions. House Bill 195 passed the House and Senate by wide margins, despite concerns from some Republicans that it could expand access to abortion. The Attorney General's office said those concerns were unfounded. The legislation now heads to Governor Mike Dunleavy. His office declined to say whether or not he'd sign it. Riding a bike to school can be tough in Nome. The roads have tiny shoulders and only a handful have sidewalks. On Tuesday, students tried a safer way to make the trip altogether. KNOM's Ben Townsend reports.
It's an overcast, windy day in Nome, but that isn't stopping Tessa Timbers Piana from taking part in the town's first bike bus.
We woke up early and had a big breakfast. I had eggs, bacon, and cinnamon and sugar toast.
Instead of piling into a yellow school bus, nearly two dozen students are riding their bikes. The route takes them from the rec center in town to Anvil City Science Academy, 4 miles to the north. ACSA parent Jeff Collins is leading the ride.
Nice job coming to the first bike bus. It's going to be hard because we're going to be going into the wind. I'm going to say that right away. We have to go over some things with safety, though.
Collins lays out the rules for today's ride, which includes several road crossings.
But when you hear one whistle blow, that'll be our go sign, okay? So when you hear, what do? It's time to go, okay? When you hear, that's going to be stop.
Okay.
Ready?
ACSA principal Emily Annis watches the group set off to the west with a smile plastered on her face.
I love our kids and I love our community, and I just want to do things that are like core memory events. And I hope for them this is a core memory event, because I know for me it will be.
Annis organized the ride after seeing a similar bike bus in Portland on social media. She admits Gnomes looks a little different.
We don't have sidewalks. We don't have bike paths. We, you know, the roads, we got muskox, you know, like we don't have, you know, really good shoulders. We have some shoulder to go over on, but in town, you know, there's not a lot of room for vehicles and students.
You can't miss the mob of bikes. By riding together, it's easier for the drivers to spot them, which means it's safer. And for this first ride, a police car up front and fire truck in the back certainly helps too. Some bikes are in better shape than others. The group makes several stops to put chains back on gears and air up tires. They pause just once for a crash.
Oh, we have a crash. You all right, bud?
Okay.
Were you riding here? No hands again? Okay.
Nearly an hour and a half after starting, the group rounds the corner of campus to cheers and handmade signs of encouragement.
Yeah, don't run over people!
With just days left on the school calendar, Colin says the ride was a good test for future bike buses.
I mean, this is part of it, is building the culture around. And Gnome's not really conducive to doing this. Laura and I bike these roads constantly. This is honestly the absolute safest ride I've ever been on.
In the afternoon, students will strap up their helmets for the ride home, hopefully with fewer scrapes along the way. In Gnome, I'm Ben Townsend.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
A comfortable home starts with the right heating setup, and many Alaskans are turning to heat pumps. Households from Metlakatla to Kodiak could be eligible for heat pump installation assistance through the Accelerating Clean Energy Savings Program. More information is available at akheatsmart.org. This message is supported by a grant from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Climate Pollution Reduction Grants. ACES comes to you courtesy of Southeast Conference, Alaska Heat Smart, and the Alaska Municipal League.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 27th day of May, the year 2026. The sun rose today at 5:24. It will set again at 10:50. That will give us 17 hours and 25 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 3 minutes and 12 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 74 degrees, set in 2006. And our record low is 32, set in 2017. It is currently 48 degrees with overcast skies and Kodiak, northwest winds at 9 miles per hour at the airport, where they report 10 miles of visibility. And the Weather Service continues to call for scattered showers for today and tonight until about 10 a.m. tomorrow. East winds to 5 today, coming up to 10 or so, and then turning to the north after midnight tonight. For tomorrow, look for north winds around 10. Look for mostly sunny skies, high near 53. We have a high tide going on right now that will peak in about 20 minutes here on the east side at 12:45 and be 5.9 feet, followed by a low tide at 6:01 this evening of 2.1 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will occur at 1:13 this afternoon and be 10.5 feet, followed by a low tide at 6:50 p.m. of 3.3 feet in Larsen Bay. Mariners, be aware we have a small craft advisory for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles, southwest 15 today, but with 10-foot seas. For tonight, south 15 in the evening, becoming variable 10. Seas coming down to 7 feet. And for tomorrow on our east side, north 15 and 5-foot seas. Over in the Shelikof Strait, west 15, becoming north 15 tonight with 3-foot seas. For tomorrow, north 15 and seas at 3 feet. Just outside of the city of Kodiak and Chiniak Bay, variable less than 10 for today and tonight with 3-foot seas. Turning to the north to 10 knots after midnight. For tomorrow, north 10, seas at 2 feet. The City of Kodiak Investment Committee will be holding a meeting today. That meeting will start at 3:30 p.m. and be held in the City Conference Room. For more information, call the Kodiak City Clerk's Office at 907-486-8636. The meeting is open to the public and will be web-streamed. The link for that and the meeting packet are available online at the Kodiak City website. Also today, LivingWorks, along with Kodiak Island Borough School District and the Kodiak Area Native Association, are sponsoring a training session today between 5 and 8 p.m. LivingWorks Safe Talk helps you notice and respond to situations where thoughts of suicide may be present. You will learn to understand how to reach out to someone with thoughts of suicide, help keep them safe by connecting them to further support, explore personal and community attitudes, and talk openly about suicide. Again, that's happening 5 to 8 p.m. in the Central Office Boardroom. There's no cost for this important training. On Thursday, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a work session that will be held in the Borough Assembly Chambers and is open to the public. The meeting packet is available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And KMXD Kodiak Moments calendar is accepting submissions right now. Photos are limited to 3 per person and must be a landscape style without watermarks. Submit your top 3 Kodiak photos at kmxt.org/Kodiak Moments 2027. Also, KMXT is working on a yearbook. This radio station is turning 50 in 2026, and so we're making a yearbook to celebrate. Submit a photo and help us tell the story of KMXT through the people who have brought it to life over the years. Whether you've been here for decades or just became a member, your photos belong in this book. So, KMXT members, please send us, again, landscape-style photos of you and your family and friends, including everyone's names. Submit your photos to kmxt.org/yearbook, and submissions for the yearbook and for the calendar are due June 30th. Things happening at the library include the escape room. It's open for the summer. This summer's theme is Wild Wild West. Solve puzzles and find the gold. It runs Tuesdays and Saturdays at 3 p.m. and Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m. all summer long. It's for groups of 3 and 4. Sign up on Sign Up Genius on the library's homepage. Also, today at 3 p.m. is the Teen Dungeons and Dragons Club at the Kodiak Public Library. It's open to middle school and high school ages. And Fridays, of course, they have their Lapsit story time at 10:30 a.m. with Miss Abby. Fridays is also Lego Club. That happens at 3 p.m. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. And this summer's reading challenge at the library kicks off on Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Stop in to play games, plant, and join in the fun. Plant a seed and read this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the library. On Monday, June 1st, there will be a mental health first aid training. And I wish I had more details about that. The Kodiak Island Borough School District's Board of Education cordially invites you to a farewell gathering honoring Superintendent Cindy Mika. Please join us as we celebrate Ms. Mika's leadership, dedication, and service to the Kodiak Island Borough School District. Snacks will be provided, and again, that's next Tuesday, June 2nd, Stop by any time between 4 and 6 p.m. in the Gerald C. Williams Auditorium foyer.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.